Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 149, recording February 4th, 2013.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers everywhere.
Hello. Okay, so we have three contributors today. Tony in New York, Greg in Jamestown in California, and Tom in Provo here in Utah.
Okay, I thought we had another one too, but we'll
figure out. Maybe we do and you didn't give it to me in the notes.
Okay, we'll see.
Yeah. Our fourth contributor is called Improvisation.
Okay.
Okay. So Tony says that he found a really great article on keeping red cherry shrimp in bowls.
Yes. By Diana Walstead.
Yes. He says, I'm lately finding the Walstead method to be quite fascinating. And he gave us a link. That's to the article, yes?
Yes, it is. To the shrimp bowl article.
Mm-hmm. He says, I also seem to remember that you were planning on trying out her method. I would love to hear how that tank is going. All impressions of the Walstead method are welcome. The idea of having a tank that needs few or no water changes is enticing indeed. Also worth mentioning that she has a third edition of her famous book out, Ecology of the Planted Aquarium. Just hit Amazon, I believe.
Right. In fact, he followed up with another email and said he went ahead and he bought it.
Oh, he'll have to give us a book review.
Yeah. Does he mention something about that there? I don't remember if he does, but...
I don't think so.
Okay. Maybe it's later on in the,
maybe
in the
so.
Notes or something, but anyway, he, yeah, I gotta tell you something. I love that article. It was fun, and so I built a shrimp bowl. I built an exceptionally small one, though, which brings with it its own difficulties.
It's a shrimp jar.
Yes, it's actually a half-gallon jar. I wanted to see if it could be done. Just one shrimp in a half-gallon jar. And it works. It works really well. I used the brand of potting soil she recommends, and I used some fluorite and gravel mixed on top of that, and then I put Pellia in. I just wanted to do it with Pellia.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really plant it aquascape, but I just wanted to see if it would be a good place to grow Pellia. So I did that, put one shrimp in, and it worked really well.
It's sitting in our kitchen window.
Sitting in the kitchen window, it grows. It had a little initial kind of an algal bloom at first, but it took care of that in not very long, and it did fine. And it had a succession of various, it had, what were it? Seed shrimp that appeared in it for a while, quite a few of those, and some copepods and so on. And the Pelly does well. I've taken chunks of it out and sold it on Aquabid,
mm-hmm.
So it does well. It's kind of fun. The shrimp, of course, because there's only one in there, I have to replace them periodically. But they live for months and months in there, and that's really all you can expect with red cherry shrimp, to live about a year or so. So, and they get really big, bigger than most of my red cherry shrimp, so they do well.
Because they don't have any fish trying to eat them.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's been a fun experiment. I would like to try it with a larger scale tank sometime, but I just haven't had the resources to do that yet. But I will. And... oh, yeah. And so you find Tony's
yes,
notes?
Yes, I found the rest of it in the notes. Sorry.
That's okay.
He says, I think the no water change aspect of the planted tank is fascinating, and I might explore it, but I suspect there may be more to it than that. Can a tank truly be water change free? So much of the good advice in fish keeping advocates quite the opposite, just as pet fish talks 20% twice a week. I am sure there's plenty to say about it, and I am sure that the exact choice of plants and inhabitants makes all the difference. I've taken the liberty of ordering Dan's book, and we'll read it with interest when it arrives.
Well, that is a great question.
So we will look forward to the book review.
Right.
Tony.
And, this topic of the Walstead method is such a nice topic. It's, it's full of interesting ideas and interesting things we could talk about. So, this is what I would like to do. I would like to dedicate it to its own show. Just have a show where we have, that's what we talk about, just that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, why don't we do this for now? Let's hold off on it, and we'll do a Walstead show.
That sounds good.
About that. And, we'll look forward to doing that really soon, in fact. But I just don't think we can do it justice if we try to put it in with other things.
No, it needs more time, huh?
Yeah, so we'll do that.
Okay.
So, thanks, Tony.
And we will put a link to the PDF that he sent us for the article up on the show page.
Right.
Okay, we're going to go to Greg, who has posted on Facebook a couple of things.
Greg in Jamestown, California.
Yes, very close to my hometown. He sent us a picture of the leopard I'd see he had to send the pronunciation guide. I'm so bad at this. Tinamopa. That's a mopey one. That's when they're in a bad mood.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll put that up on the fish. The fish page. No, we'll put that up on the show page.
On the show page. Yeah, I love those fish. They're very interesting.
It's kind of freaky
looking. They're ambush predators.
How big do they get?
I'm not sure exactly. I hesitate to say.
It doesn't look like one that I would want to be very big and swim with.
Well, it's not like on the order of a paku or anything. It doesn't get gigantic, but it is an ambush predator.
What does it eat?
Fish.
Well.
what do you mean exactly?
Well, maybe it ambushed bugs or...
Okay.
I don't know.
I didn't mean to say that in an, I'm going to say this because it should be obvious way. I just meant to say it's an ambush predator and eats fish. That's what I meant.
That's okay. We'll take your word for that.
Yeah, but I think they're a very interesting fish. And the whole idea
Where are they from?
They're African. An African fish. And I think they're, I don't know, I find the idea of keeping an ambush predator kind of fascinating, but... What would I feed it?
I know. You'd have to feed it all the extra guppies or something.
Yeah. So, anyway.
But do they just hide behind plants and they jump out and say, boo, and then they eat the fish?
That fish and some other fish that are similar to it, that some of which are related, it's a big genus, and some that are not, are also known as leaf fish, as I recall, because they sort of mimic leaves.
Oh.
Kind of float around next to something as if they were a leaf, and then something gets close and... Slurp.
Then they're not a leaf anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I see. Okay. Well, Greg also sent us a Christmas picture, it looks like. It's not really Christmas, but it's like Christmas.
Christmas for
second Christmas.
For a fish keeper.
Yeah.
Right.
Somebody that he knew was moving, I guess, and she gave him all kinds of lovely things in this picture. So we'll put that up too so we can all congratulate him on his good luck.
Yeah, it's quite
it looks like, I don't know exactly the size there in the picture, but it looks like about 6 gallon Ziploc bags full of gravel and a tank and a stand and rocks and cords and doohickeys and gadgets and...
And doesn't he enumerate some of the items?
Oh,
there?
I don't know. Let's
I think
go down
he does.
To his... He's got a comment there, too. Okay. So, this is what he says. Hello, all Aquarimaxians. I guess that's a different form of it.
Oh, Aquarimaxer, Aquarimaxian. We can start declensions and conjugations pretty soon.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I have a question about water. I'm going to give a betta to my niece, and they use well water and not the local water system. So I'm not sure what advice to give her about preparing the water. I did give her a clump of Java moss and a handful of gravel from one of my established tanks. They haven't gotten the fish yet, so I'm looking for advice to give them. Any ideas?
Well, that's the question of the day, isn't it? I would say well water is well worth testing. You have to, because, you know, wells are so different. You might have one well that has arsenic in it and another well that's got some sort of...
Does it have old lace, too?
Oh, hopefully not. That would make it even worse. And you might have another one that has, cadmium levels that are off the charts. Or some of them are really high in dissolved CO2. To the point of not being very healthy for the fish. You know, you can get all sorts of weird stuff going on with wells.
So it just depends.
And some of them are fine. Pristine, healthy water. So I would test
it. These wells that have all this junk in them, is that not bad for humans, too?
Yeah, it is.
But they just drink it anyways.
Well, sometimes. Sometimes they filter it first or whatever, but it depends. I would suggest testing it. Getting a... Sometimes you can get a municipal water supply place to test it for you. If you're part of the municipal water supply, it's free. I don't know if you're on a well, whether they would do that or not for free, but they'd probably do it for something. And then failing that, I would probably use an RO, an RO system on it, on the well water, and then add some equilibrium-type salts back, some... In a small
like if
quantity.
You were living there with the well, that's what you would
right,
do.
Right, that's
but
what
probably
I mean.
The niece's parents are not going to install an RO system for the betta.
Probably not. But with a betta, you know, with the small water volumes, they might just go to Walmart and get some... they have those RO systems that you can fill up your own gallon with.
Oh, okay.
They did that
like
every...
Like a Brita filter, except RO?
Yeah, they got a few gallons every week and just did a water change every week with those. And then, but I wouldn't just use the RO water, of course. You'd want to add some of the salts back. But you can go to the pet store and add a pinch of, say, cichlid salts to it. Or, you know, the Equilibrium, I think it's the Seacam brand, I'm not sure, of the salts that you can use. There's RO Right. There are several brands that you can use to make the water. Now, a little bit more hospitable for the fish, because you don't want to be pure RO water, but that's a good way to do it and make sure that you're not putting any nasties back into it.
Okay.
So
that's a good
those
idea.
Those would be a couple of options. Because, yeah, you can, you never know what you're going to get. Well, water's a wild card.
So just got to figure out your own well.
Yeah, okay. Unfortunately.
Well, he also says, on a different note, I wanted to share some good news with some people who are into this hobby. My wife's sister was helping a woman pack for moving, and the lady asked if she knew anyone who might like some fish stuff. And my wife's sister called and asked my wife. My wife said, yes, knowing I've been wanting to get a few more tanks, but being broke because of the holidays, I haven't been able to afford to get more because they are expensive, aren't they?
They can be.
When she brought the stuff over, this is what I got. 30-gallon plexi tank, 10-gallon wood-framed tank, 30-gallon cast-iron stand, lights canopies for each tank, 30-gallon hob filter, 30-gallon heater, 2 sets of under-gravel filter plates, air-driven, not powerhead, 2 air pumps, one for 75-gallon, the other, I'm not sure, but it's bigger, and vacuum and hose, tank scrubber, net, 6 large Ziploc bags of white and blue gravel, 4 Ziploc bags of plastic plants, airline tubing and miscellaneous decorations and conditioners. See attached photo. So, which is the photo I was talking about.
Right,
so
which will be on the show page. So
Santa
quite a
Claus
haul.
Came to you.
Yeah. Pretty nice. I'd be dancing, doing the Happy Fish Surface Area dance.
Yes.
On
see?
My head or a skateboard
oh,
or something.
Okay, next Christmas.
Yes.
Instead of doing a song, maybe we'll choreograph a video of the Happy Surface Area dance.
Okay. Maybe.
And we'll organize like Aquamax flash mobs.
All across the world.
We'll film it and make a video.
Kelly's the one who comes up with this stuff.
Okay, I'm the naughty one.
That's okay.
Alrighty, he also has a few other notes for us. He's talking about his bettas. And he says, it's getting to that time of separating them from one another, and I was going through the whole, where am I going to put them? Yeah, we've been there.
Mm-hmm.
That all first-time breeders go through when you don't plan that far ahead.
Or even if you do.
I guess we had planned that far ahead. We're still...
scrambling a bit.
Mm. I went to the local PetSmart to get some food for my leopard...
Tinapoma.
And while I was there, I asked an employee what they did with the betta cups if the fish dies while en route or at the store. One said they keep them just in case they need them for replacement for a cracked cup. But when I asked another employee a minute later, they said they had tons of them in the back and gave me 15 with lids.
Pretty nice, hey?
Yeah, just an idea for those out there that might be breeding bettas also who will need cups for separating them.
Yep, and I would say that is a great idea, but one thing I would suggest to clean the jars out.
Especially if the fish died in it.
Because, you know, the fish that died in it may carry things like mycobacteriosis or scary things like that, possibly. So what I would recommend is using a bleach solution first to remove the organics, basically. And then because the mycobacteria, they have this waxy sort of coating that's fairly resistant to bleach. Once you've bleached them out and rinsed them out thoroughly, so you're not mixing the alcohol with the bleach, use like 60 or greater percent isopropyl alcohol on the inside, wipe them out with that, and let it dry. And then once it's dried thoroughly... Let it air dry, and then once you're doing that, you rinse it out, because the bacteria... After you air dries, you rinse it out, because the mycobacteria are very sensitive to alcohol.
That's good. At least there's something that gets them.
Yeah.
Nasty things.
So that's the protocol I use with the betta cups from a store, just in case.
No, I think that's a good idea.
And I did mention to rinse it thoroughly after you let it air dry, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I asked you because I wasn't sure that's what you meant. So okay. I clarified it. So yes.
Okay, good.
Air dry and then rinse and then air dry again?
It doesn't matter once you've rinsed it thoroughly. It doesn't matter. Okay. But that's what I would do. Because I think it is a great idea. I'd just add that little step there.
Okay, and he has a P.S. He says, sorry about the long-winded post, but I know no one that is into this hobby, and so when I can talk about fish stuff, I tend to go on and on.
Well, we know how that is, don't we?
Yes, so it's okay. You are among friends.
Yes, we all do the same thing. And I think it's awesome that your wife said yes. Kelly's done that before, and I like it when she does that. Like when we saw this tank not too long ago, a year or so ago, at a garage sale, and I just saw it out of the corner of my eye. I was like, oh, a tank, and I wasn't going to stop. And she goes, no, let's go check it out. It's okay. Cool. And then we ended up getting it, so thank you.
Yes, we did.
I love that. You're lucky, too.
It makes me happy to see you giggly over things.
So who's next?
Well, I think actually we should take the break next.
Oh, okay.
Hello, this is Ken Jones of the Prince of Ponds and Pet Tech Podcasts, and you're listening to one of my favorites, the Aquarimax Show.
Now there are more ways than ever to be a part of Aquarimax. In addition to downloading the podcast on iTunes, you can follow us on Twitter, like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube channel, or call us anytime and leave a phone message at 801-477-0629, or just email us at info@aquarimax.com. And now, back to the Aquarimax Audio Show, the podcast with Icy Nine.
Alrighty, we're continuing on with Tom in Provo here in Utah. And he says, I don't mean to monopolize the podcast, but I have one comment, one suggestion, and one question.
No, that's not monopolizing at all. That's good.
Nope.
We're happy.
That's very good. Okay, comment. The conversion of my tank from RO water to treated tap water is essentially complete, and the fish seem very happy. It might be the tap water, or it might be that the nearly daily water changes have resulted in the nitrate level asymptotically approaching zero.
I think it's both. It's a pleasant mixture of them all, as Tolkien would say, in terms of how the fish are benefiting. They're probably benefiting from the mineral values in the water being closer, at least for the live bears, closer to what they like. And in terms of the low nitrate levels, that doesn't help either. I mean, it doesn't hurt
it
either.
Doesn't
it
help.
Does help. It does help. It doesn't hurt either. Probably both. They're benefiting from both.
His suggestion, I'd enjoy a show on the various kinds of tank lighting, especially as they relate to freshwater planted aquariums.
And we need to do that. We've talked about lighting on shows, but it's never been a
dedicated a
light show. I don't think so.
We haven't done a lighting show.
Not just dedicated. We've done shows where we talk about lighting for like 10 minutes.
Oh, well, let's get one of those together, too. That's a good suggestion.
Yeah, it is a good suggestion. So we'll keep that in mind. And someone else was asking about that. Who was it? Was it Matt?
I don't remember.
Matt in Australia, maybe, was asking about that, so we need to do that. Yeah.
Okay, we'll work on getting that together. Thank you for the suggestion.
Yes.
Okay, and his question, I like this question.
Okay.
He says, I talk to my fish. Do other aquarists do that? If so, are we all crazy? Note that they do not yet talk back.
Okay, once they start talking back, maybe you are crazy.
Or they're possessed by the spirit of Don Knotts.
Oh, that's possible, too.
Yes.
And that's a reference to...
That's kind of an obscure
The Incredible reference. Mr. Limpet, that movie where Don Knotts turns into a fish.
Yes, he turns into a fish.
Yeah.
And it's, like, from the 60s, so it's live action when he's a human, and when he's a fish, it's animated.
But he still looks like Don Knotts, except...
It does,
the
actually.
Fish.
He still has glasses as a fish.
Yeah, but I guess we digressed just a wee bit.
That's okay. It was in the name of Don Knotts.
That's true.
And that's okay.
So when we're talking about fish talking to the fish, do I talk to fish?
Yeah, you talk to your fish. Well, the fish.
What do I say?
All the time. He's going to go feed them. And he says, well, you guys look hungry. Have some food. Or stop picking on each other. Or if you're trying to catch them in a net, like, come here. La, 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 la. Stop hiding behind the plants.
And we play this game at our house.
Oh, we do. The kids. It's a goldfish game.
We call it something sometimes. I can't remember what we call it. But it's a game we play with the goldfish. And basically, we all sit down and we look at the fish tank, because it's in the living room, you know, the goldfish tank. And we say, okay, I bet Pie Show is going to be the first one to touch the bottom. And then someone else say, nope, I think it's going to be Black-Eyed Susan. And, you know, someone says, like that, and then you just have to watch the fish until one of them touches. And then it can be anything that they often do. Mm-hmm. It can be touch that plant or touch the surface or
turn
go under this filter or whatever it is, and we'll play that. And the kids get a kick out of it.
Awesome. This is the beauty of not raising your children on video games, is that they actually have an attention span.
Yeah, they like it. It's kind
they
of
do.
Fun.
They like
I mean, they
it.
Don't play it for like 6 hours straight or anything, but they like the game, and we talk to the fish. You'll see, they'll be like, no, Paisho, turn around! Hey, Buffett Susan!
Don't open that
don't
door!
Don't let him win! So, it's fun. It's another way in which we talk to our fish.
Yes, we love our fish.
So, I'm glad to hear that, mm-hmm. you know, you talk to your fish, because...
I'm sure most of us do. I'm sure, in fact, you guys all write in and say yay or nay if you talk to your fish.
And maybe tell some of the things you talk to them about.
And if they've ever talked back.
And how you address them, yeah. If they've ever talked back.
I don't think you should dress your fish. I think you should let them be in their natural scales.
Or didn't I say address your fish?
I was making a joke.
Oh, okay.
You miss my jokes a lot.
No, I don't.
Oh,
I totally got that
you
one.
You didn't. He's tickling me.
Oh, don't, that's too much information.
Today.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
In fact, it is.
That went kind of fast. I just
That's
wanted to
okay.
say, we went to the aquarium again. Well,
oh,
I did, and we took,
you took
I
Gwen.
Took Gwen this time, because it was her
so
turn.
She was so cute.
And she really loved it. And our favorite things, this was the funny thing about it, okay? We went through the aquarium, saw these beautiful things, and I took videos, and I'll try to show them to
oh,
you.
Oh, speaking of which, I put that shrimp picture up.
Yes, I noticed that. Thank you. And that's on the Facebook page.
Yep.
But this is what... I asked her what her favorite things were at the aquarium to see that day. And she said exactly the two things that I would have said, that I was thinking. And it was kind of neat.
Which
the
were?
Octopus.
Giant Pacific octopus.
Yeah, we have the giant Pacific octopus. We got to see it being fed. It was being mm-hmm. fed shrimp, and it was really interesting watching it. And then it was changing colors and changing textures and everything the whole time. It was really fun.
Really cool.
Very interesting to watch. And the other thing was the tank of dwarf seahorses.
They're so cute.
They really are. And we sat and filmed and watched those dwarf seahorses probably, I don't know how long. We came back again and watched them again after we'd already left and come, you know.
And it's a fun thing about Gwen is she's 7. She just turned 7 very recently. But she just will sit and watch and observe, even from when she was a little kid. She said, I'm going to absorb this.
Yeah. Oh. Even before she could talk.
Yeah.
We could set it in front of the fish tank and she was happy mm-hmm. as a clam.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we had a lot of fun with those two things, and I thought it was interesting that we liked those two things the most. It is a great aquarium, and I hope you like the videos that we put up when we get there. But it was, I really want to have dwarf seahorses someday.
That would be a fun project to document for the show.
It really would. We'll have to wait until, you know...
We're like 65.
Yeah, we have time to add another tank. But anyway, it would be fun. They are absolutely fascinating little fish. So.
Thank you, Tony and Greg and Tom, for writing in.
And may the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and/or questions that may be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.